Our scripture reading for this morning is Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And now let's turn to the Lord in prayer before we go into our message. Holy and blessed Father, this is a day of thanksgiving, as is all days. And Lord, we pray that as we now turn to your word, that you would reveal to us by the power of your Holy Spirit what it means to not only give thanks with our words, but to give thanks from the heart, to honor you as God, and to give thanks to you according to the grace of your salvation. And so, Holy Father, we pray for the glory of your Son and for our reassurance that we are indeed children of God, and for the proclamation of your gospel even to the unbelieving. We pray, Lord, please bless this preaching of your word for your name's sake and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, since today is Thanksgiving Sunday, we're going to be taking a break from our series in the Epistle of James to consider a well-known text in the Gospel of Luke pertaining to the subject of thanksgiving. So we read in today's text that as Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem, he entered a village and there was met by 10 lepers. Who sought deliverance from their terrible condition of leprosy. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Physically, the disease of leprosy was a serious disease that led to disfigurement, disablement, and death. According to my reading, leprosy may produce loss of sensation. It can lead to nerve damage, which results in all kinds of problems, such as deformities of the body, vocal issues, skin lesions, infections, paralysis, and eventual death. Not only was leprosy a devastating disease physically, but it was also devastating socially. According to Old Testament Levitical law, a leprous person was consigned to a life of an outcast, separated from normal human society. True to the guidelines of the Old Testament law, we see that these 10 lepers stood off at a distance, and from there they called out to Jesus for mercy. We can see that they addressed him as Master, which indicates that they knew about his authority over all kinds of diseases and afflictions. Having healed many people, Jesus' fame had spread even to these isolated lepers who met him as he entered the village. Out of their terrible suffering, these 10 lepers pleaded for Jesus to heal them, just as he had healed others. And what did Jesus do? Well, in response, Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priests. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. According to Levitical law, lepers who were cured of leprosy were required to show themselves to the priests, who would see and confirm that they were indeed healed. So implicit in Jesus' command to these 10 lepers was the promise of healing. These 10 lepers must have been thrilled to hear Jesus' words. And on the way to see the priests, we read that they were in fact healed. How amazed they must have been when suddenly their destroyed fingers were made whole. Their deformed faces were restored. Their feeble, crippled joints were made strong. And that precious life-preserving sensation which they had lost returned to their limbs and their hands and their feet. How overjoyed they must have felt at the thought of returning to society, returning to their families and loved ones. No more to be shunned, but rather welcomed and embraced and treated like an ordinary human being once again. In their elation, 9 of the 10 former lepers went on to show themselves to the priests, and beyond that, a celebrated return to life as they once knew it. Only 1 of the 10 felt compelled to turn back and return to the Lord, who showed him mercy and cleansed him of his horrific disease. Verse 15 to 16. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Scripture testifies to the fact that God is kind to the evil and the good, sending upon the people of the world innumerable blessings. All people owe their life, their breath, and every earthly blessing they enjoy to God's gracious providence. Every disease from which we recover is owing to God's providence, since it is He who upholds the biological mechanisms of the human body that are responsible for our healing, including how these mechanisms respond to modern medicine and treatment. We read in Hebrews 1 that the Lord Jesus upholds the universe by the word of his power. And of course, if he upholds the universe by the word of his power, that means he upholds everything by the word of his power, including our bodies and every life-preserving and saving function therein. Yet despite the fact that people receive innumerable blessings from the Lord, how many fall on their faces at his feet and give thanks to him from a worshipful heart of love and faith? Well, today's text gives us indication that only a few actually do. How many, like these 9 lepers, have received healing from serious illness along with countless other blessings, all from the Lord, and yet fail to honor him as God and give thanks to him? If today's text is a reflection of the world at large, that kind of attitude describes the majority of people on earth. In fact, Scripture tells us that the unbelieving world is characterized by a thankless attitude towards the God who has revealed himself to them in creation. This is what we read in Romans 1, 21 to 23. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. See, the unbelieving may honor God with lip service. They may give him superficial thanks, but their hearts are far from him. Like these nine lepers, the unbelieving may even cry out to the Lord in a moment of crisis, but their cries are nothing more than a self-centered act of desperation, devoid of a genuine desire to honor God as God, to honor him as the one who is worthy of supreme trust and love. When the crisis passes, the unbelieving are all too consumed with pursuing their earthly desires to listen to God. They exchange the glory of the immortal God for the idols of pleasure, money, ambition, and many other things. And because they do this, they say they have no time to seriously consider the will of the one who preserves and blesses them. They say they have no time to earnestly consider if they have truly availed themselves of God's gift of eternal life. They say they have no time to soberly consider if their notions about God and his Son are really in accord with his revelation. They just turn a blind eye to the things of eternal importance and bury their heads in their temporary interests and concerns. They claim to have no time to know the will and the way of the living God because they are so very busy. And yet they have gobs and gobs of time to whittle away on their phones, to whittle away on their hobbies and their personal interests. They have gobs and gobs of time to stay up late into the night to amuse themselves with videos and social media, but no time to sincerely ponder the words of the one who heals them, feeds them, sustains them, and lavishes them with blessing after blessing after blessing here on this earth. And what kind of attitude is that? It's thankless. They may like to hear a sermon if it is meant to entertain or flatter or offer false promises and false assurance, or if it confirms their own ungodly desires and longings. And to that point, they don't really care if the teaching is unfaithful to God's word. They don't really care if it grossly misrepresents God and the Lord Jesus Christ, for as long as it pleases them. But they become impatient, annoyed, frustrated, even angry when the word of God is preached according to its principal end: to teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man, as our own shorter catechism states. Well, they consider that to be a waste of time, even if that foolish attitude cost them their soul in eternity. How the unbelieving world dishonors God in ways like these. How thankless, how incredibly short-sighted and foolish. Brothers, if we are in Christ Jesus, we are not the nine who were blessed by the Lord but failed to honor him as God and give thanks to him. But the one who turned back and fell down at Christ's feet in true thanksgiving. The unbelieving world takes God's blessings for granted, but is hardened towards him as he has revealed himself in truth. In contrast, we who believe, we have been given a new heart towards God in Christ. A heart that does desire to honor God as God, that does show him thanks for all that he has done for us. Brethren, though we may be quite loud in our cries of supplication, let us look to the example of the one who turned back, who was loud not only in supplication, but in thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord. Let us be loud in our thanksgiving and praise, not by way of lip service, but out of the depths of our transformed hearts towards our Lord who has saved us. Let us lead lives wherein the honoring of God and our Lord Jesus Christ is very obvious. As obvious as that one man who returned to Christ, even as all the others went on their way. And so let us not be ashamed to be the odd man out. As children of God in this world, that is our lot in life, to be the odd man out. While everyone else goes on their way, we of all the people in the world are the ones who turn back and give thanks to God, honoring him as Lord and God. So how ungrateful we are to be timid and anxious about sticking out as Christians who have been given a heart to honor and give thanks to the Lord. We've been given a heart to honor and give thanks to the Lord who blesses us in innumerable ways and has given us the supreme blessing of laying his life down for us for our eternal salvation, inheritance. Let us glory in honoring our Lord in the words that we speak out of a heart of faith, love, and thanksgiving. Let us glory in honoring our Lord through our godly, thankful way of life and attitude. Let's pray. Holy Father, we give thanks to you, not by way of lip service only, but from our hearts, which have been transformed by your regenerating grace. Lord, we read clearly the testimony of your word that the unbelieving do not honor you as God or give thanks to you. They do not honor you as the one to whom is owed supreme thanks, faith, and love. But we thank you, Lord, that by your saving grace, you have given us a heart to do that very thing. And so, Lord God, we thank you that you have opened our minds and opened our hearts to your glory in the face of Jesus Christ, so that we have turned back and worship you with praise and thanksgiving. And so, Lord God, we pray that we would examine our own hearts and see if whether we are like the nine or the one. For all around us we see those who receive your countless blessings each and every day and yet do not give thanks to you or praise you from the heart. And we can see that this is so because they have no serious concern or desire to know you as you have revealed yourself in truth, in your word. No sincere desire to consider your saving will and purpose and to conform their minds to it. But Lord, we are not like that if we are saved and born again. For it is our earnest desire, Lord, to conform our thinking and our hearts to your revelation, as you have shown yourself to be in creation, within our own conscience, and most of all, and supremely so, for our salvation in your word, the word of truth. So, Lord God, seeing that this is the case, please help us to remember to live lives of thanksgiving, that our attitudes and our lifestyle will be reflective of a heart that honors you and gives thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.